Scene.
While I begin, I appreciate John wearing a mask. But I'm just going to wipe anyway. Since I have him here. Thank you. So, a few weeks ago, we were going through 2 Peter chapter 3. And while we were doing that, I quoted Psalm 90 verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. As I read that psalm then, I was moved by its relevance for us today. I have, over the past few months, with the increase of cases of COVID-19, with the incidences of division, and in the rise of injustices, I am asking, just as the psalmist did in verse 13, how long will it be? So let us spend some time savoring this song. It's attributed to Moses, and it's unsure whether it's actually written by Moses or in the frame of what Moses would have prayed. But it's a song with 6 stanzas, each broken out in the NIV by a tiny space, each corresponding with one another, that the first, it goes down and down and down. And then with the 4th, 5th, and 6th, it goes back up, up, up. So the first and last have the same theme. The 2nd and 5th have the same theme. The 3rd and 4th stanzas have the same theme. The inmost part of this, the center of this psalm and the psalmist's focus, is verses 11 and 12. A familiar verse to us, I assume. Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. But in order to get there, we need to start at the beginning. Stanza 1, verses 1 and 2. The Lord alone is God. The psalmist addresses God as Adonai, the Lord Almighty, the God of hosts. And it describes a God of infinite power. He is the one who handles all the heavenly armies. He is the one who marshals forth the force of creation. And it is for that reason that the psalmist writes, Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. You have been our refuge. You have been our protection. You have been our stronghold for all generations. Any hope that we have, any peace that we have, any security that we have comes from you, God. And then he goes on to say, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Not only is God all-powerful, omnipotent, but he is eternal, having no beginning or end, from everlasting in one direction to everlasting in the other direction. You are God. You existed before the creations, before the mountains were born, before the foundation of the earth. You are God. And so we begin at that point. We begin with the praise of God who alone is able, who alone is always. And when we start there, we then are able to move into the second stanza. But we need to spend a moment simply praising God. Because if we move on too quickly, we will be overwhelmed. We need to remind ourselves that the Lord alone is God. That He alone is the one who can save us. He alone is the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Second stanza. The Lord deals with humans justly. Beginning with verse 3 through 6, and actually continuing on through verse 10, we have what's called a lament. A lament is an expression of grief or sorrow. But there are two stanzas. The first, verses 3 through 6. I want you to notice that it is impersonal. Talks about men. Talks about they. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has gone by, or a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered." In comparison to God, human beings are nothing but dust. What can you do with dust? Not a lot. You can pile it up, but that's about it. In comparison to God, people are like grass. Grass sprouts up, and if the sun's too hot, it burns out. It is not from everlasting to everlasting. So as God is all-powerful and eternal, human beings are frail and temporary. We may, through Christ, have an eternity to spend with Him, but we're not there when creation once begun. We have a beginning point. We are not God. Our lifespan in the scheme of eternity is a day or less. A watch in the night, which would have been 4 hours. It's like that. It is like we spring up in the morning and we wither at night. So we need to recognize that it is God who determines the course of our days. God is the one who decides. God is the one who determines when we enter this world and when we return. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust." We also need to recognize that the condition of us as human beings is universal. There is not some human beings that are not dust. There is not some human beings that would say, "Oh, we are better." I don't know about you, but I don't categorize dust. Oh, gee, you know, the dust under the bed is much nicer than the dust under the couch. The dirt outside, oh, well, dirt in Dorchester, super nice. Dirt in Texas? Not so nice. We don't do that, do we? We all stand the same. All people. If it were written today and not 3,000 years ago, it would be all people, not just all men. Return to dust. Hearkening of the beginning of human creation. God took man from the dust and breathed life into him. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 7 through 10 continues the lament, but it deals with our sin. The Lord will deal with our sin. And whereas verses 3 through 6 were impersonal, verses 7 through 10 are deeply personal. There is we and our. Where it was they, now it's we. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. We are consumed by God's anger. Our frailty and our weakness lead to sin. And sin leads to the brevity of life. And we finish our years under God's wrath. Even our hidden transgressions are exposed. Our transgressions cause our days to be filled with anguish. And so you see, we have moved. God is the Lord. God alone. The human condition of weakness, of frailty, of temporary, and our sin makes it even worse. So here we are at the bottom, recognizing that life is short, and we make it even shorter because of our transgressions, our iniquities, and God's wrath and indignation are poured out on every soul. And at that point, the lamentation ends. The song, the expression of grief and sorrow ends with verse 10. 11 through 17, the three stanzas that come after this are what are called petitions, requesting God to act. You alone are God. Human beings are not God. And we are judged by our sin. So what's the first thing we ask for? We pray for our proper response to God's wrath. We pray that we recognize the full power of God's anger. Verse 11 and 12. Who knows the power of your anger? The fact is, nobody knows the full amount of God's power as it's poured out against sin. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. All we can say is, yes, I recognize that my sin has caused your anger, and my fear is equal to that grief. So how do we respond? We respond by agreeing with God that the human life is brief. We become aware of the brevity of life. Numbering our days recognizes that we are not eternal. We are not God. Every time we number our days, we say, yes, there is coming a point when all my actions will be judged. There is coming a point when my life will be over and I will stand before the throne of God. Numbering our days is important. So important that people have made money off of it. I don't know if you know this, believe it or not, a large number of people have chosen to be reminded 5 times a day via a smartphone app that they are going to die. The app is called We Croak, and it's been downloaded more than 10,000 times with 30,000 monthly users. That means that there are more than 25 million reminders through We Croak sent annually. Most of the messages are simple. Don't forget, you're going to die. Others are more somber. The grave has no sunny corners. Those who are afraid of death will carry it on their shoulders. Now, these messages, according to the app developer, are sent at random times and at any moment, just like death. And the founder of the app was inspired by a famous Bhutanese folk saying, which says, to be truly happy, you must contemplate death 5 times a day. The basic idea is the more that we recognize the brevity of life, the more we will stop and smell the flowers, the more we will take the opportunities to do the things that we ought to do, knowing that life is short. And it may be a Bhutanese folk saying, but long before that, the scriptures wrote, Lord, help us to number our days. Teach us to number our days aright. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We may not know the wrath of God in its fullness, but when we are taught to number our days, we gain a heart of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so the writer of this psalm is simply asking us, recognizing the wrath that God pours out on sin, ask God to teach us to revere Him. Ask God to help us remember His wrath and seek His forgiveness. The second thing that we pray, fifth stanza, verses 13 through 16, that we pray for the Lord to deal with us mercifully. This is a reversal of what has already been said. The psalmist asks God to act in 3 particular ways. First, relent. Turn from your consuming anger. Second, satisfy. Take away our finishing anguish. And third, make us glad. Fill our days with rejoicing. Lift us up as we begin to climb. We remember that we are but dust. We are finite beings. And we pray that those moments that we get to enjoy would increase as we call upon God. Turn away your anger, though it's deserved. Satisfy our needs so that we are not spending our days in sorrow and grief. Make us glad and fill us with joy. Which leads us to the final stanza. That we pray for the Lord to be our God. We end up where we started in the first place. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The psalmist is asking that God would be their God. It starts off by saying God is God alone. God alone is Lord. But be our Lord God. Allow grace to rest upon us. Allow your favor to rest upon us. Remove your judgment from us. And the psalmist then asks God to establish or give value to their efforts. As a tangible way of measuring God's grace, enable us to see something good, which is a stark contrast to the withering grass. Our sermon in a sentence is this: only when we recognize our limits can we magnify the Lord. As we read this oldest of Psalms, we begin to understand that God is God and we are not. That the psalmist declares that God is all powerful and eternal and that we are not. He is all powerful and we are frail as dust. He is eternal and our lives are brief, made even more so by the human desire to sin. And God will never tolerate disobedience by his children and will rightly judge every transgression, open or hidden. And so we need to number our days aright and gain a heart of wisdom to recognize our limits and magnify the Lord. We need to accept that we are undone, lest God relent and restore in mercy. We need to acknowledge that we need his favor, his grace. We need to accept God as our Lord. The Lord desires to be our hope and our salvation. So I'm going to ask, will you take time this week to wrestle with the immensity of God and accept your frailty and brevity of life? Somehow, this week, take note of the fact that God is God alone. And start there. Start and end with verses 1 and 17. You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Because you are all powerful, because you are eternal, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, and may he establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. of our hands. It all comes from God and it all returns to God. And so we ought to be praising Him. But it's only when we recognize our limits and our limitations that we can magnify the Lord. If we think we can do it all ourselves, then we diminish who God really is. But when we begin to realize that we are dust, we are grass, we are sinful, we need a Savior, then we can begin to say, what amazing grace we have, what faith we have, what joy we have in knowing that He is our dwelling place. He is our refuge. He is our stronghold. May His favor rest upon each one of us. Shall we pray?